Take the scriptures now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now have the time of the reading and expounding upon the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7, we'll start in verse 1, we'll go through verse 16. These are the words of the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent of the matter. And so, although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness on our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. For this reason we have been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. His affection abounds all the more toward you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you. That is the word of the Lord. So chapter begins having received the promises of the last chapter, that we should all be cleansed of all remaining sin, and that we would be perfected in holiness through the fear of the Lord. But then the apostles, we see, when they were struggling, the Lord brought to their lives a good word from another child of God, Titus. The Lord comforted them through Titus, another saint of God. Not only through his presence, but even in the communication of the Corinthians longing to see Paul. It showed their love not only for the brethren, but for the church. For Paul to come. When he communicates how he rejoiced even after the sending of his last letter, a letter that caused them great sorrow, because as you remember, there was great rebuking there in 1 Corinthians. And yet this was not a sorrow that led them to despair, but a sorrow that led to repentance according to the will of God, a repentance that is without regret that leads to salvation. And this is shown to be in contrast to any sorrow of the world, which has regret that leads to death. Verse 11 says, "For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. and everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. It was a repentance unto life through Christ. And finally, that which he previously wrote, being that of discipline for their sake, to rescue the offender. Remember, most likely he's referencing here the incestuous man again. To rescue the offender from death. It was written to them not to offend them. Certainly not to for the one who was offended by the sin, but so that they be comforted through the word of God. And what comfort there is when the apostle says in verse 16, I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you. That is confidence to continue in the faith and live holy lives for Christ Jesus. That's what we are called to, even now, that we would have confidence even before God. That we would continue in faith and live holy lives in Christ Jesus. Perhaps even having that assurance of salvation we've heard in 1 John. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word here. We thank you that we see that the discipline that you bring to your people at the right time through elders is good for your church. And it leads to repentance. And it leads to comfort. Being comforted in you. Father, we praise you that you are a God who brings the word and you do so boldly with authority, and we are convicted of our sin. We thank you for the discipline that we often have, which we mostly see and hear through the preaching of the word. Father, we ask that it would be a means to turn us from our sin and turn us back unto you. But that it also would do that work which you describe in the scriptures of condemning those who are already condemned. And yet, Father, we ask that the preaching of the word in this place would lead to repentance and salvation in Christ Jesus. We ask that you would not send any here to hell. That none here would be of what are called the reprobate. That all would, at the right time, believe the gospel unto salvation. That even amongst those who have professed faith, that there would be none who have just have been clouded in their minds and don't really believe. May even have deceived themselves, thinking they have eternal life, and which they really don't, because they have not truly believed. And the evidences that we have heard about in 1 John are not there. We ask that you would show this to them, that they would turn now, seeing the state they are in, unto you, the living God. Knowing that you will show mercy and grace to them. And Father, if there be any children here who do not know you, many even here who have not professed faith publicly as is called for in Romans 10 before the congregation, Father, we ask that you would turn their hearts unto you. Cause them to see that there is no salvation outside of the church of Jesus Christ and their need to come and profess faith before these people, even as the thief on the cross did in his last moments. I thank you for the promise that we heard there, that today they would, that man would be with Christ in paradise. And so it is with us. Today, if it is the day of salvation, which it is the day of salvation for some, we know that this day they have eternal life already guaranteed for them. May it be realized by us as true. Father, we praise you for our congregation. We praise you that you are a God who constantly showers us with your grace and mercy, which You have given us great privileges in your Son, even in adoption. As we can cry out to you, Abba, Father, now. We don't only need to call out and can only call out God, Lord, but we can have that great intimacy with you and calling you Father and even calling you friend and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you that you're a God who has created the heavens and the earth, and even spoken to us through your word, and which sustains us in this life. And so, Father, be exalted high above the heavens, even as we continue in our worship now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.